You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
He's going through changes. Dog, it's going through changes. So let's talk about Big Mouth Season 3. Hello, I'm Bradley Martin. Do I say my last name? I don't remember. When's the last time I introduced a show? Anyways, we're here talking about Big Mouth Season 3. And I have a, I believe, a newcomer to the screener squad. Introduce yourself, good sir.
It's Doggett, and I would answer your question, but whenever you talk, I just tune you out.
Just like the people I know in real life.
Aww.
Anywho, we binged Big Mouth Season 3 that dropped Friday on Netflix. The return of all those prepubescent, diving headfirst into puberty, hormone monster children. Very awkward situations. I thought the show couldn't push the bar any further than it did with season two, but it pushed the bar into a closet, had sex with it, took photos of that act, then posted them all over Instagram. What did you think of the show?
This show is quite disgusting. I could never watch this with any of my family, and I love it. It's amazing.
You know, my sentiment is exactly. I watch so many cartoons with my kids. DuckTales, Steven Universe.
Are you ever afraid, like, you're going to, like, walk by your, like, your kid's tablet or something and they're, like, they have Big Mouth on the screen?
Absolutely I am. That's why I monitor it. And anyone with children out there, when your kids are watching Netflix or YouTube, make sure that they are in a vicinity in which you can monitor them. Because there are things that they could see on the internet that their brains can't take back.
Well,
and this, I think, is a good example of that happening.
Well, here's the thing. Would it be the worst thing, though, of all the things they could watch? Like, I'm looking at this show as, like, it's very, you know, no kink shaming. What's it called? Everybody's accepted. You should feel ashamed.
Yeah, no kink shaming.
It specifically tells you, you should feel ashamed about this if you do this.
It's a very progressive show, but at the same time, it's also, I think,
very inappropriate.
Incredibly inappropriate. It's kind of fascinating that way. But as a parent, I don't want to ever be in a position where I have to face that my kids probably talk like this and probably think like this and are going through this.
You do not look through their devices ever?
Well, I can check history, but come on.
Wait, how old are your kids?
I got one teenager and one preteen.
That's over. That's done.
Yeah, it's done.
You've lost them.
Like, yeah, I could check their history, but I know that it wouldn't surprise me if they just deleted their history before I could find anything.
It's like that Adam Sandler movie, Men, Women, and Children, where he's pondering about how he found his dad's porn, and that was really like a big coming age moment for him. But then he realized because of the internet, he can't have that with his own son. So he could just,
right.
He can only look up his son's porn history and try to bond with him through there.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was kind of an underrated movie, a little all over the place, but we'll let's get back to Big Mouth here. We have our main characters, Nick, Andrew, and Jesse, played by Nick Kroll, John Mulaney, and Jesse Klein. Again, all three provide brilliant performances for these kids. Usually when adults voice kids, it's very noticeable and kind of stupid. But they somehow capture the socially awkward, terrible time of a child's life very well, especially John Mulaney, who's actually becoming one of my favorite A-list voice actors. What did you think of the cast?
Oh, man, I love John Mulaney. Who doesn't love John Mulaney? I love John Mulaney in everything except his own show.
You're probably the only person that saw that show.
I just saw the promos over and over again. But Nick Kroll, I got to tip my hat to Nick Kroll. He voices so many different characters, and I didn't realize at first that he did. But I'm seeing how he's building all his characters, and I'm like, this is pretty great, actually.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. But doesn't he also voice the other main character. Is it Murray or Maury, the hormone monster?
I always thought Will Arnett voiced Murray, but yeah, I think he does.
No, yeah, pretty sure it's Nick Kroll. Man, I should have had that list up. But the best thing about Murray is, and why I think the show is a little brilliant, like Murray says outrageous, disgusting, often shocking things that I remember not too long ago. Well, what, 25 years? GM Chrysler, I'm an old man. Where I was that age, and I thought gross, disturbing shit like this, and I felt great shame. But it's kind of interesting to see in an animated show, like this hormone monster say, "Oh wow, check out that fancy red bra."
All the shit, was that you or the recording? What was that?
Oh, I read to my kids, so I have to do voices all the time.
Oh, okay.
Oh, thank you. Was it you impressed by that? Yeah, this is Maury. Oh, you need to grab that red bra.
It made my skin crawl, so yeah, it's appropriate. Yeah, the show. That's what I appreciate about the show. It makes you reflect and feel the proper amount of shame for your childhood, but also yes. Forgive certain aspects of your childhood too. Where it's like, hey, you don't need to feel ashamed about this, but yeah, this you should seek therapy for this.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I think everybody should be in therapy at this age. That's me being progressive. Let's pay for therapy. Tax who you need to tax, preferably rich people, and get all our kids in therapy so they put down guns.
I went
to
a school with 30 kids a classroom. Nobody saw a counselor.
I know, but there is a counselor in these schools, and they should be utilized. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not going to talk bad of my school, but every counselor, the counselor of my school was so hungover. It's like, I can't make my problems your problems.
Yeah, interesting.
But that's enough study on the American education system.
The sad state of the education system. My favorite character, Maya Rudolph as Connie the Hormone Monstress. I don't think she's ever gotten as funny as she was in season one. Season one, probably one of the greatest voice actress performances I've ever heard. She sings.
She was very confident in season one.
Oh, absolutely. And the disgusting thing she said, I think my favorite was, what did she say? Remember when you all French kiss? How'd that make you feel? And, you know, Jesse says, kind of bored, you know. Or she's talking about when she kissed someone she liked, that it felt kind of naughty. And the hormone monster says, there's a reason why they called that streetcar Desire. And I still say that line. I say that line to people.
This show has so many great lines.
So many great lines. Enough about my favorite stuff. What are some of your favorite characters and lines and really storylines from season three? Then we won't get into spoilers, of course.
I'm going to say right now, season three, I'm going to say improved a few characters for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jay is actually a lot better this season than he has been in other seasons, especially now that they're exploring his sexuality and his place on the sexual spectrum.
Yeah. It's played by Jason Mantzoukas from Brooklyn, is it called Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and the How Did This Get Made podcast. I've always thought he was an underrated comedian, but go on.
The brother-in-law in the league. He's in a bunch of shit.
Yeah. It's always kind of disgusting, too. It's kind of his bread and butter, isn't it?
And yet, somehow, he's more disgusting as this just hitting puberty teenager is the most disgusting he has ever been. And I think season three actually really improves on that. I think he puts him in a different dynamic, because there's a point in the show where like his living situation changes, and you can see he himself isn't actually a bad kid. It's just the awful environment he's in.
No, and that, I think that was kind of one of the surprises of this season, how it takes this disgusting, perverted, I want to say shameless, but I think he's got a little shame about it. He's more curious. His curiosity is bigger than his shame is all, and really gives him an actual heartfelt story arc.
Well, okay, I got to correct my answer. There's actually two characters that are actually my favorite characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's, of course, Duke Ellington is the best character on the entire show.
Yeah, surprisingly, voiced by Jordan Peele.
And his origin episode later on in the season, you guys still need to watch any of Big Mouth if you truly don't want to. But I would say Duke Ellington's origin episode is legitimately probably the best episode of the show.
I really enjoyed that episode a lot, and I agree with your sentiment. Go out and watch that episode. It's got some disturbing imagery in it, of course. There's a World War One, a spot on, come. By the way.
World War Come, sir.
Yeah. But it's historically accurate. It's the most historically accurate portrayal of World War One in a cartoon I've ever seen.
I loved it. As I said in our messages, you gotta respect the show for being committed to a stupid joke.
Yeah.
And seeing it through to the bitter end.
We lost so many dicks in that war. But yeah.
Why are you all dancing? We lost a bunch of good dicks out there.
Oh, man.
I can't hate on the show because I'll describe a scene and I'll just start giggling to myself.
No, I'd say that's probably the standout episode of this. Because Ghost Duke Ellington, he's always been just kind of a prop in the past seasons. A funny prop. And to give him some humanity on... And he tells a love story. It's disgusting. And there's a lot of push boundary jokes and...
I want to crawl back inside you, mama.
Yeah.
But it's very sweet. It's so sweet. It's probably not sexual.
There's a lot of heartfelt stuff in between these inappropriate topics. But and when he's talking
it reinforces the idea that a gentleman does not tell.
Yeah, I really liked that. That's very cool. But he has a conversation with a ghost, and then it gets meta on how stupid and dumb a lot of these after-school specials are for making trivial situations in comparison to actual life or death struggles that figures of history have had. It's a great joke, and I'd recommend anyone watch that episode just on
the
that.
The surprise ghost cameo.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
That's
French kiss. Very nice. So we both have the same favorite episode on this on this series.
I do. It's whenever a show makes me Google something to check if it's true, and then I'm pretty happy when it's true, is like, oh, it brings a tear to my eye.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, my wife's a history buff, and she knows all about World War One, you know, the Great War, and the tragedy behind the millions and millions of lives lost. And the way that these little characters play out that scenario, it's crazy accurate to how history was told. So I do want people to watch it. And if you're a history buff too, watch it and send me a tweet or send me a link on Facebook going, you're freaking wrong. That was disgusting. Because I'd love to talk about it.
But your wife, when your wife was watching the episode, was she like,
oh, no,
it
she,
all
she didn't
happened
watch this
like
with
this.
Me. No,
it all happened like this. The dicks and everything.
Yeah, and they'd be waiting by the window. Oh, my goodness. Was there any gags in this that were too much for you? Like, that's too disturbing. I think I've got to take a break.
On principle, I don't allow myself to, feel that way.
Wow.
I try to just take it all in. Like, I'm not particularly comfortable with the vagina talking. But, okay, well, I guess this is, if I'm actually trying to be... an ally to women, as the show says.
Well, yeah.
I just won't comment on it. Is like, I just don't make a big deal about it then.
No, I think that's the best way to go. Like, it does feel hypocritical of me. And I'll say, the talking vagina made me very uncomfortable. I mean, this is a preteen girl's vagina. And then, someone could say, oh, what about Andrew and Nick's talking dicks? And for me to say, oh, no, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
I'm
an asshole hypocrite.
That,
I
identify
mean?
With that. The other one makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of good in-jokes about that kind of behavior within the show.
Ooh, and the other thing they fixed in this season was the coach. They kind of, pushed him to the backside and, had him for, 30 seconds in every episode.
Yeah, he works really good as just a momentary gag rather than a main character.
Because he's my least favorite part of the first two seasons.
Well, no, he makes me feel gross. But not so much this season. That's a good point.
Well, what they pointed out was he is a very disgusting character with who's very dumb and no tact.
Yeah, very inept.
But he may be the sweetest character in the show.
That's a good point.
Especially when you see the other teacher throughout the season. I've rewatched the show, and there are hints to what happens to that teacher earlier in the season that I didn't catch at first.
No, I got to rewatch that then. I don't know what you're talking about.
the teacher. You know what I'm referring to, with the teacher, right?
Yeah.
The what happens in the ninth episode. Well, like,
oh no, it's just, I hear what you're saying.
The things that are happening in front of your face, and you're like, well, that's shitty. You don't really see what it really means. Like when what's the main girl's name?
Jesse.
When Jesse is just just commenting on how something's not feminist or just fucked up in general, he's like, ugh, this bitch under his breath, and it's off-putting and funny at first. Yeah. But then you look at it, he's like, oh, this is, you were dropping so many hints, and I'm just such dick. I didn't notice.
Red flags right away, man. And there's a great incredible conversations, actually, in the show on how to talk to someone who's been in that situation without judgment and without pressuring them to do what you would want them to do about it. And I think that's surprising and a little upsetting that we're only getting that from cartoons right now. Like, maybe we could have a real life living person drama go through these issues and not drop the ball at the end, but we'll see. As far as it stands, I think Big Mouth handled that incredibly well.
Yeah, it's very, I don't know how to describe it, just like, it understands how to navigate around landmines, and it's not going to work every time. Like, it's going to, blow up in their face once in a while. Like, there's, a big of a hubbub over their pansexual character.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I can't say anything about it. It was like, oh, if that's how your group feels about this, then I can't tell you not to feel like that.
Exactly. No, it's a conversation we should all have. At the same time, it is a very hard show to watch if you're not into, would you call it gross out comedy? There's so many gross out bits in this.
It is a, I don't know if it's a sex comedy or a cringe comedy.
Yeah, maybe a little both.
I feel because of how educational it is, I feel like it's more cringe than sex comedy, because this is what I appreciate about the show. What I think a lot of people complain, is the animation. And I appreciate the animation because it does a very good job of not sexualizing these underage characters.
Absolutely. They're very, very much artistically designed to be cartoon characters.
These are gross kids.
Anatomically correct ones.
Very gross kids.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Even when they show adult characters naked, it's like, you can't really find very much sexual about it. It's like, this is...
Well, because they're drawn like how real people look in a way, just exaggerated
reality.
And cartoony.
Keep that away from me.
Yeah.
I prefer my cartoons to have anime proportions.
With the big eyes and the, what is it, size zero waist and 44 double Ds. 34? No. Anyways.
That's too small. I'm destroying my brand.
Well, let's get towards the closing thoughts here. One of my favorite side character jokes, and this isn't a spoiler, this is just to try and get more people to watch this show. If you can, if it's too gross, I wouldn't blame anyone for not watching it. But they're all at a restaurant on Valentine's Day, and they're all talking about things that upset them. And Andrew's father said, "And what is this, prepaid meal? Like I'm buying the dinner, the appetizer, and the dessert all at once? You want me to decide what my dessert should be before I've had dinner? Like some kind of freaking serial killer?" And that had me laughing for a good 10 minutes. And the actor that plays him, I forget his name, and I can't find him on my giant IMDb
casting list. The voice you just made, everybody knows who you're talking about.
Okay, good. He's a great character. And the Takedown of Florida song, I feel like
is it me, or have a lot of writers, apparently a lot of comedy writers, just done weird stuff with their cousins or something? This is coming up a lot.
Exactly.
Like, this came up in Rami and other shit. Like this is a part. This is in Arrested Development. This seems to be a reoccurring thing in the comedy world.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say I recognize that, but the character who goes through it.
I thought you were
going to
say,
well.
I can't deny that myself.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, the Takedown of Florida was a loving tribute, but also some of the sickest burns I've ever heard about Florida. That's a great song.
The pipe bomb.
Yeah.
the cousin love.
Oh, yeah. Oh, how do I get the angle right? Like, oh my gosh.
Before we close out, can I ask you, like, is there anything you didn't like this season?
I can't say that there wasn't. I'll probably watch this season again. Let me think. A story element I didn't like. I thought the closure for Jesse was a little weak because it kind of hints at that you can, or maybe it doesn't. I don't personally suffer from depression, but I don't think that's something that just goes away when you're done with that plot either.
I didn't take it as it went away. It's just like she's still really sad at the end. It's not really a happy moment for her.
Well, is she sad because of her depression or because of the situation she's You know,
she's,
I really need to read more about this.
She always has a rough time in the show.
Yeah.
I guess this is like just what it is like to be a woman in general.
Yeah. And I think that there are certain things in this show, certain themes that actually get better over time. I didn't even know depression was a thing. I was one of those assholes that was like, well, just don't be sad then. You know, assholes like that. I used to be that guy. And after reading into it a lot, I'd say maybe 15 years ago, it really opened my eyes. And the purple cat that represents depression in this is spot on with a lot of stuff that
I've read. It's so bad because this would be so educational for children if it wasn't, you know,
if children could actually watch it. Exactly.
It's like if you could censor the show yourself, I would suggest you do that. And like, it'd be down to 10 minutes, maybe.
And that'd be
there'd be like a lot of good information in there.
Yeah, the 10 flicks. Yeah, the 10-minute clean flicks of Big Mouth. Hi, I'm Coach Steve, and then you'd never see him again.
They just erase all of Jay.
Yeah, Jay is just a background character.
And Jay, in the last episode, they gave Jay a stupid joke that I fucking loved, and the payoff at the end where he's just moaning to himself. Come. I nearly popped a blood vessel. I was laughing so hard.
Absolutely.
And I've how never it ends seen... is so sweet. It's so fucking sweet.
So it's disgusting and so sweet. It's a trip, man. I'm like stepping over my own words now. It's a trip of a show.
It makes me feel emotions I wasn't aware anything this disgusting could. It's like, you know what it is? It's a little bit like a Swiss Army Man.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Will I give you some sentiment with a fart?
Absolutely. Well, why don't we go into final thoughts? Do you want to have the final say on this? I could start.
Well, I would just say this show, Big Mouth. Mm-hmm. If you like the last two seasons, the third season is really great. It's like, I would say it's better than the first two because of how they fit. It's the jokes are pretty much the same. The humor is the same. The storytelling is just as good. It's just they fix some of the characters I didn't like. And they're better now, and therefore the show is better for me. It'd be easier for me to sell the third season of the show more than the last two seasons.
No, yeah, I agree. The second season really pushed the edge with the Shame Wizard, and that made me really uncomfortable.
Oh, I love Shame Wizard. Shame Wizard.
Well, how does she should sound? Be all Shame Wizard. You got to be a disgusting piece of little perverted shit, aren't you?
When the Shame Wizard popped up, I loved it. I was sad when he didn't come back.
No, and I could see why he didn't come back. It was kind of a one-note joke. But, yeah, pretty touching, too, now that I think about it. I'm probably going to binge this from beginning to end when we're done with our review here. What's your final arbitrary rating?
Oh, man, I give this 9 out of 10 talking vaginas.
There you go. Me, I have the same thoughts you had. I really liked all the character development and how it stayed. You know, it goes from season to season. Because a lot of the time, a lot of shows will just return to the status quo and whatever was developed, who cares? We're starting over. Thought that was pretty bold for a cartoon. I know Futurama used to do that incredibly well. I enjoyed the grossness a little more, maybe because I was more prepared for it. Really liked that Connie, the hormone monstrous, got to be more center stage this season. I know in season two she dropped off a little bit and was just kind of a cameo character.
Well, they gave her a different kind of story this season because she had a different job.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. I like that it actually deals with real issues from that horrific time in our lives when we were that age and we were controlled by our raging hormones. Sorry, that we had raging hormones. We make our own choices. Nothing's controlling us.
You're not a fucking animal.
To the bank. Yeah, we're not a fucking animal, exactly. I loved that the autistic character Caleb was more than a one-note joke in this season. This is probably the most, other than that Sesame Street puppet, this, I would say, is the coolest autistic character on TV. Sorry, Netflix. So accurate to how these kids can be, and I like how they treated him like they would treat anybody else. This is such a disgustingly gross, progressive show, and I love it. I'm gonna, since I could never actually watch this with another person without feeling shame myself, I'll give this 8 dicks that didn't return home to their 10 vaginas.
Oh, man. Before we close out, you want to take this moment to, like, apologize to any of all or all women or men that you were terrible to in childhood?
No. I'd rather repress that and move on.
Yeah, me too. I was, yeah. Thank God.
Repression, that'll be the topic of next season. Oh, man, you got to repress those dreams.